Ursula K. Le Guin, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
Is your organization planning a virtual event, looking for a media co-sponsorship? Then contact KBOO today. KBOO's community media co-sponsorships provide free on-air promos for local nonprofits and small organizations, as well as a listing on our website's community calendar and promotions on our social media. For more information and to apply, visit kboo.fm/co-sponsorships today.
Welcome to Stories with Stella. Today's topic for my little intro rambling session is going to be love. And not just romantic love, but platonic love. And I want to start this off specifically with one of my favorite poems or written pieces that I've had saved on my phone for probably about 4 years now. It's by somebody named Heidi Priebe, and this is the poem. To love someone long-term is to attend 1,000 funerals of the people they used to be. The people they're too exhausted to be any longer. The people they don't recognize inside themselves anymore. The people they grew out of. The people they never ended up growing into. We so badly want the people we love to get their spark back when it burns out, to become speedily found when they are lost. But it is not our job to hold anyone accountable to the people they used to be. It is our job to travel with them between each version and to honor what emerges along the way. Sometimes it will be an even more luminescent flame. Sometimes it will be a flicker that disappears and temporarily floods the room with a perfect and necessary darkness. That writer is Heidi Priebe, P-R-I-E-B-E. And that poem has always really spoken to me since I first read it, because I've experienced a lot of love for people who are no longer in my life, and coming to terms with being okay and embracing the fact that I still love some of the people that I'm no longer friends with or no longer close with, because there's really very few circumstances that will taint really pure memories that hold a lot of love for me. I felt love for friends, for lovers, for family members, and I've personally found it much easier to have a sense of butterflies in the stomach and falling in love with my friends more than I have with romantic partners. That to me is really special, and I used to feel embarrassed or unsure of these strong feelings that I would have for people even without wanting to kiss them or be with them in some more intimate way. I have deeply felt a lot of love for a lot of the friends in my life, who some of whom have come and gone. Some of them I only talk to perhaps once a year or every other year, but that love burns bright. I've also found with family that there's a certain stereotype or stigma to love your family because it's blood related, and there's almost an expectation or a pressure to love our families because we're related to them. What I found with my personal experiences with my family is that I've grown to love each individual family member in a really different way for the relationship that we have, because I have a really different relationship with my mom, my dad, my siblings, my grandma, and so to say that I love them all the same is not quite the same, because I have a really different relationship with all of them. I know them to a different extent. the way that they've honored me and seen my growth over the years affects how close we are now. And that love, even with family members I'm not close to, there is still that connection because those people have known me my entire life. They've inspired me along this journey. And so even if we don't see eye to eye on certain things, there's still a deep love there. It's just a different love. I felt love romantically for a few partners, and I've had some of actions taken by a past partner really taint a lot of those memories and make me regret a lot of those feelings of love. And that's something that I'm still learning how to come to terms with, because regret doesn't taste good in any flavor. And there are some things that people can do that can cut a line through the love that we feel for them. And in some instances, it is better to grieve that loss and grieve that love and then move forward in a healthier way. So to me, I've experienced love in such a wide myriad of experiences. And I think there's this cultural concept that love has to fit inside of one individual box. And I don't feel like love fits in one box for anyone I know, for anything I know. I feel a deep love for my dog. I know people who feel deep love for their pets, for their plants, and I think that's beautiful. Love is a powerful thing. It takes control over our emotions and our brains, and it can do strange things against our will to us. But being able to identify when it is affecting us and how it's affecting us, and to recognize when we do love people, even if it's outside of the traditional norms of what love should be. Because love shouldn't be anything. Love is love. I also really like normalizing saying I love you to a lot of the people in my life. I used to hold back from sharing with my platonic friends if I loved them, because I thought it would scare them or intimidate them. And I've learned it's always received very well. We like to know that we are loved. All humans crave connection with other humans. We all want love in our lives. So there's never been somebody that I've expressed platonic, pure friendship love to who's been afraid of that, because it's a beautiful thing and it feels good to receive and it feels really good to give too. I love telling my friends I love them. I love telling my roommates I love them and how grateful I am to live with them. I love telling my parents I love them for supporting me through this growth and this life that I am on in this journey. Love is love. Love is beautiful. And love can be tricky, because long term, long distance, there's so many factors that can mess with our sense and our perception of love. I'm also a very firm believer that since love is an experience that is felt by the individual, it should be given and communicated about with absolutely no pressure or expectations from the person that you're telling. And I like to tell my friends that I love them because I know that I'm comfortable falling in love with my friends platonically. And I like to tell them, and I also like to choose my words very carefully with how I tell them so that I don't pressure them into feeling like they have to say those words back. Because saying I love you holds a different level of meaning and importance for every individual. And it's not going to mean the same for anyone. So I never say it with an expectation to receive it. And I think a lot of movies and media portray people saying it at the same time to each other, when in my experience, it's not usually felt that way. With my romantic lovers, it has not been felt the same way. One of us will feel comfortable expressing it, and when the other one feels comfortable laying down those words and being authentic with them, then it doesn't always have to be at the same time. And I like kind of normalizing taking off that pressure of people when we do share I love you with somebody, whether it's with family or friends or lovers, that you say it because you want to, because you want to make them feel good and you want to share that information, but not because you need anything back from them. And I think that can be hard for some people to understand, depending on how they received love growing up. When I was young, I was under the impression that if somebody had enough money for a nice big house and all of the things that they wanted, that all of their needs must be met. And my parents are hippies. We lived in yurts, we lived in alternative places, but I heard I love you every day. And my parents hugged me very often. And we regularly say I love you before we get off the phone with each other. And when I got older, I realized that some of my friends did not have that experience growing up. That some families, no matter how privileged they might have been in terms of material items, they did not receive that kind of verbal communication or physical communication of love, like hugs and kisses and telling your children that you love them. I have grown to realize that that was a privilege that I have and that I had as a kid growing up, and I took it for granted. I was not aware that other families don't say that with each other, and that's why I love you holds a different meaning for different people. I've learned to respect that more and more as I get older, because everyone has a different relationship with those words and with what they mean when they say them. That's all I wanted to share on the topic of love today. And I'm gonna take a little break and play a song. And then when I come back, my roommates, both of them, will be joining me to talk about periods and birth control and all the other kind of fun stuff that people with vaginas get to experience. So this song is called Best Friend by Saweetie and Doja Cat. Enjoy.
That my best friend, she a real bad bitch, got her own money. She don't need no nigga on the dance floor. She had 2-3 drinks, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
That's my best friend, she a real bad bitch, drive her own car. She don't need no lift in a strip club. No, my girl gon' tip, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in. Beep, beep, is that my bestie in a testy? Fresh blowout, skin on tan, look, she ready. Bitch, you look good with a T at the end. I'm a hyper every time, not my motherfucking friend. She been down since the jellies and the bobos. Now me stepping out the G and my Manolos. When we pull up to the scene, they be filled with jealousy. If a bitch get finicky, she gon' bring the energy. I hit a phone with a T like, bitch, guess what? All the rich ass boys wanna fuck on us. I just ass sitting up, it could look don't touch. And I'm back busting bands every time we link up.
That my best friend, she a real bad bitch, got her own money. She don't need no nigga on the dance floor. She had 2-3 drinks, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
That's my best friend, she a real bad bitch, drive her own car. She don't need no lift in a strip club. No, my girl gon' tip, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
That my best friend, if you need a freak, I ain't dumb but motherfucker, she my Tweedledee. If she ride for me, she don't need a key. If you sideways, she'll straighten you if need to be. And she's so bad that I just can't take that bitch nowhere. She off her fish, I said, mm-mm, don't go there. Bitch, break her back, she protect and attack. Get that strap, let them buckle, foot on neck, give no air. Whole world wanna be us. Then my main bitch, she my day one. On my way, bitch, let you get drunk and celebrate, cause we the baddest in the club. That my best friend, she a real bad bitch, got her own money. She don't need no nigga on the dance floor. She had 2-3 drinks, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in.
That's my best friend, she a real bad bitch, drive her own car. She don't need no lift in a strip club. No, my girl gon' tip, now she twerking. She throw it out and come back in. Hot. Best friend, you the baddest and you know it. Uh-oh, girl, I think our booty growing. Fuck it up in the mirror, hit them poses. Best friends, and you motherfucking glowing. Best friends, and your wrist is like it's frozen. Uh-oh, girl, I think our booty growing. Fuck it up in the mirror, hit them poses. Best friend, you my motherfucking soulmate.
Welcome back to Stories with Stella, and I'm sitting here with both my lovely roommates, Hazel and Lemon, who's joining us for the very first time. And today we're going to talk about all sorts of silly stuff, including periods and birth control. To start it off, y'all want to talk about how you guys got on birth control, or like the first ones you tried? How old you were? I was 14 the first time I tried birth control.
I was young as well. I feel like I was 15, maybe.
15?
I was a little bit older. I was 18. And I think part of that was because my parents raised me Catholic, so they like weren't very supportive of sex before marriage or birth control. So then once I went to college, I
got access to it.
Took manners into my own hands, yeah.
That's really helpful that colleges have usually clinics or Planned Parenthoods in the college town, because I feel like I knew a lot of people whose parents were not accepting of them getting on birth control, and it was harder to find a doctor who would see them without their parents' consent until they got to college.
Yeah, since I was 18, and then the Planned Parenthood was like right down the street, so
that works.
That was really, yeah.
What did you try first?
I was on some type of pill. I don't know even the differences in them, but
I don't remember even the name of the one I tried. Mm-hmm. Did you have a
good
experience? Honestly,
I can't think of the name either, and I was actually pondering on it.
And you were on, you tried the pill first too, right?
Yeah.
How long were you on it?
I ever tried. It was a long time, like over 4 years, almost five. And like before I had ever been on the pill, my periods were really heavy, but once I started taking it, it became like more once in every 3 months instead of once a month.
Instead that is of being, nice.
Yeah, it was like quite the change, honestly. Mm-hmm. It was like, felt way more relaxed, and when I did get it, I'd be like, oh yeah.
Yeah, when I first started my period, when I was 13, I had really heavy periods. So it'd be like 9 to 10 days, and pretty heavy too. So I got really anemic for the first year, and I just felt like I was dying every time I was on my period. And then when I first got on the pill, I didn't like the pill because it made me gain a bunch of weight and get a bunch of zits, but it did shorten my period and made it like lighter and more consistent. And so I kept around with different kinds of birth control, and then I found the NuvaRings worked well for me for the last like 7 years, and it keeps my period to like 3 days of pretty light, which is a huge difference from just dumping out blood for 10 straight days.
Yeah, that sounds brutal.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the pill worked for me at some point, but towards like the last year of being on it, my periods were super irregular, and I like never, they were never like in that week of the pack that's like when
the
they
placebo
were supposed
pack.
To be. Yeah. And I don't know what route I was like supposed to take, or I tried to talk to my doctor about it, but it's still, I was just like, I don't know what is going on. So
they
I just
literally
went
handed
off.
Me a pamphlet, and they were like, here's all the like 20 types of birth control you can take. And I was like, okay, well, what would work best for my body? Like, I was asking all these questions, mm-hmm. and they were like, you have to make that decision.
And they didn't give you a lot of information about the different
ones?
It
was like a pamphlet, yeah.
I feel like they make it really easy to like get the birth control, but they don't inform you well. Like, when I got my...
For which one?
Yeah. When I got my IUD, I was like, I just want to hear, like, what my options are. And she was like, this is an IUD. You can get it right now. And I was like, okay. And then, because of that, I passed out driving home. Like, they didn't,
from the
like,
pain
inform
of it.
Me. I guess. Yeah.
That was one of the most painful experiences I've ever had, was getting my IUD inserted. And they told me to wait a designated amount of time before I left, and that's what I did. But I still was feeling very lightheaded, and the first time they tried to insert it, it rejected right away, and so they had to do it again. And I feel like my body almost went into shock after that, because it was like so traumatizing the second time.
And aren't they even supposed to use...
Oh, my body hurts just hearing about it.
Aren't they even supposed to use, like, a numbing gel or something?
They did use a numbing gel, and I still was feeling the effects.
Oof. Yeah, the IUD has kind of intimidated me a little bit, just for the insertion and the fact that you also have to get it removed at some point once it's, like, grown into your body after years. Yeah. So the IUD gets inserted inside of the vagina by a doctor, and then you can't take it out yourself, right?
Right. And you're technically supposed to get your strings checked. Like, there's little strings that are, like, hanging from, I guess, the plastic part or the copper part, depending on what IUD you get. And you're every, I don't know, is it 6 months or a year, you're supposed to get the strings checked, so make sure the placement's right.
Because it can get moved out of place.
I guess so.
So can you guys?
Okay, yeah. I've historically always gotten it checked every 6 months to a year, and I tried to feel them myself, and I couldn't straight up. So I remember when it was being inserted, though, it went up so deep. Like, I literally felt it attached to my fallopian tubes.
Oh, that's so intense.
Yeah. It, like, latched on, and it was the tightest cramping and most painful experience. Oof. They recommend the numbing cream, which I received willingly, to anybody that hadn't given quote-unquote a natural childbirth. And I was like, that kind of pain to natural childbirth?
Oh, that's a lot to put your body through
know I was going to get the adrenaline rush that I did, and then coming down, and I got really lightheaded, and it felt like it should have been almost, like, approached as an outpatient procedure rather than just, like, spontaneously.
Yeah,
it seems like they should mandate a driver for people to go home, too.
Yeah.
If it's, like, going to have effects for hours afterwards, too.
Yeah. They didn't ask me, like, have you eaten? Are you prone to fainting? Like, do you have someone who could pick you up? Like, they were just like, if you want it right now, you can get it. And I was like,
if you want this thing shoved in your cervix, it's no bigger deal than getting your blood drawn, which you would actually ask more questions about. Yeah. That seems so odd.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like the education around birth control is pretty poor. I've been on and off with the NuvaRing for a long time, and it's like a little hair tie kind of thing that I can put in and take out myself. But I've been having what's called breakthrough bleeding, which is a fun phenomenon that women get to deal with every now and then, or people who are bleeding, where I was not expecting to have a period for another 2 weeks, and I still had the birth control in my vagina, and I woke up having started my period the night before while I was sleeping, and I had left a bloody stain on my mattress, on my sheets, and my thighs were, like, caked in blood. And that was just a casual morning of, like, okay, I gotta get up and just clean this off and make some breakfast and walk the dog. And I think a lot of people who don't have vaginas don't understand how graphic it is sometimes to wake up just with your genitals caked in blood. That just doesn't happen to people with a penis unless something very serious is wrong. And we get to just deal with that in between work meetings or on a regular basis. Have you guys ran into that before?
I have, and it just reminds me of my experience using a Diva cup, because then, like, if you're in a public restroom, you just have, like, a cup full of blood.
And the Diva cup is like a little plastic cup that goes inside the vagina like a tampon would, and then just collects blood, right?
Yeah, and you reuse it.
So you have to empty it out and clean it in between each use.
Yeah, and if you're like in the public restroom and like you can't really clean it with toilet paper because toilet paper just gets stuck to it. And so it's like you either just have to
just rinse
keep
it out.
Well, then it's like, okay, I'm going to
get blood
walk
in the sink
out with my bloody cup, rinse it, and then just be like, what's up, girl? I'm just rinsing my
blood. Diva cup.
So you just have to, like, really think things through so much more than a man going to the bathroom. It's like, should I change it now? Should I wait till I get home? Will I ruin my underwear if I wait till I get home?
I've ruined so many pairs of underwear. So many nice pairs of underwear over the years. Just completely ruined.
They've been sacrificed to the period gods.
I'm terrified to ever wear white pants. Or white underwear, really. If it's anywhere close to where I might have my period. I feel like the bathroom etiquette for people who experience periods is really interesting because I've seen women just rinsing out their Diva cup in public restrooms.
I'm like, I was like, I never even thought of that as an option, but I feel like
in Portland,
on the West Coast, people are more open.
Like, hey girl, literally, she was so casual about it. But also I've had experiences where I've unexpectedly started my period in a public restroom and just asked if anyone in the bathroom had a pad or a tampon. And I've had like two different arms stuck under the stalls at the same time with women just offering things. And
that's beautiful.
That is sweet.
I love that. Period etiquette.
I had a lot of like adolescent problems with breakthrough bleeding. And I remember this one time when I was literally like 12 years old, I bled through this like sleeping bag and mattress at a sleepover. Aww. And I was like, it was just such a tender age to like experience such an embarrassing thing. I had to like tell her mom to do the laundry.
Aww. And did all the girls know?
And everybody knew.
And it feels so embarrassing at that age because you're like, nobody else is bleeding out of their vagina, right? Or at least we don't talk about it.
Yeah, we just hadn't talked about it, but there were a few other girls that were like, I also get my period.
Yeah, I remember when I got mine, my mom wasn't home and my dad and my sister were, which like I could have gone to my sister, but I like locked myself in my room and I was like so devastated and embarrassed and was just like, I can't talk. I can't explain what just happened in that bathroom.
I remember I was really nervous. My family was pretty open about periods. We called them having your moon. And
sounds about right, yeah, for your
West Coast hippies
family
for you.
Be
having your moon cycle. And my mom used to use cloth pads. So regularly I would come home and or my friends would come home and there would just be a bloody pad soaking in a sink full of bloody water that she would then water our plants with because actually it's good for the plants. But that still kind of traumatized some of my friends in middle school. Like, why is there a sink full of blood? But my parents were really comfortable with it, but I just didn't want to talk to them about the mechanics of it.
Yeah.
And I remember I'd been having my period for like 6 months and I could not for the life of me figure out how to put in a tampon. And my friend Ami stood outside the bathroom door and tried to like talk me through how to do it. And I struggled and couldn't do it for so long. And then it was like a year later, I was going swimming with my sister, or we were gonna go swimming. And I was like, I can't go swimming, I'm on my period. And she was like, yeah, you can, you just use a tampon. And I went into the bathroom with my sister and she put one in and she showed me how to do it. And I learned how to do it for the first time. And I'd have been having a period for like a year and a half at that point. And not having to wear a diaper pad was amazing.
What did my sister, I had to figure it out.
Just all on your own?
Yeah.
Did it take a while?
I feel like my family was judgmental of the tampons.
Really?
The
penetration of the cotton.
Yeah, I had to express interest in the tampons. Like, I feel like there was an expectation to be a certain age to be able to use them. And that felt weird.
I kind of had that. I remember thinking you couldn't use it until you lost your virginity. Or, like, you might lose your virginity to a tampon. And I don't know where that came from. And I remember it getting debunked
class
when I was, like, 14 or something. But I remember actually having that fear with tampons. And that's why I didn't even try for a while.
Yeah, they definitely seemed a lot scarier than pads. And it took me probably, like, a year or something before I did the tampon. My mom gave me, like, instructions outside the bathroom door. And she, like, offered to come in. And I was like,
no way.
She's like, I don't care. I gave birth to you. I know what your butt looks like.
Oh, that's cute.
I like that. I wish it was more normalized for women like that, because I know a lot of people whose moms are super uncomfortable talking about that stuff, and if they didn't have siblings or only had brothers, like, don't know much about it. And so I know quite a few women who've grown up not talking about it with anyone, and I feel lucky to have had a lot of, like, close girlfriends and sisters to learn about it. And I've met, like, the guys that I meet and talk about periods too, like, guys that have grown up with a lot of sisters or are close with their mom usually are super on board with, like, can I get you some ice cream? Do you need more pads? Like, how can I be supportive? Versus guys who didn't grow up around a lot of women and never had that conversation are a little bit more scared of it, I think. Which also brings us to period sex. Because it can actually be really good for cramps or just for mood. If you're in a bad mood, I get really horny when I'm on my period. But it does take a little bit of preparation unless you want to ruin your bedding. Yes. But it's really not that hard to just throw down a towel.
It's worth it.
It's totally worth it. Is your partner pretty comfortable with period sex?
Honestly, I haven't had my period in so long. I think our MO is just like, we're just gonna face the fact that I'm on my period, and then we're just not gonna, like, look too much at, like, the blood situation and just do our thing, and then we'll be good.
Set the lights a little lower that night. Not look at the reddish stuff that's on their dick when they pull out.
Yeah. Well, and with the IUD, like, I don't know. It's like I barely bleed, and then when I do, it's like really dark brown, so I feel like it's almost, like, more gross than the blood, because, like, I don't know. It's blood is red, and it's
but
fine.
But a bunch of different
stuff,
colors,
like,
too. Like, I
don't know what that is.
Blood is technically blue before it's oxidized.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you.
I'm so glad more to show over here.
I've seen blood in all colors.
But yeah, I never know if the, like, if when it's, like, more brown, I'm like, is that just dried up blood? I don't know, you know, what.
I used to have really clumpy
periods. Maybe because my diet.
Like, I don't know if it was usually
pre-pubescent times.
Yeah.
I had chunky periods. That's
pre-pubescent.
Real.
Wait, what do you mean by pre-pubescent times?
Okay, when I, like, just started my period, like when I was going through puberty.
Like, yeah, when I first started.
14, I had really heavy anemic ass periods.
Same.
Where I would just, like, literally bleed buckets.
I loved using those diaper pads, and then you'd have to change it, like, every hour because this diaper would be full of blood. I miss those days.
There were times when I had to use tampons and pads.
Oh, that's so much.
God, so extra.
You're poor pussy.
You just have to, like, sit in class with, like, in your blood. Like, yeah, you have a pad in, but, like, you can still feel moisture in your underwear.
Oh, my God. Another traumatizing, like, prepubescent moment. I remember having to give my friend a tampon in, like, 7th grade. I think we were, like, 12 or, like, 13 maybe. And we did, like, the handoff. Like, as I was walking by, she had her hand out. And
sneak
I just,
it
like,
to her.
Snuck it over. And then one of the guys, like, turned around and was like, I saw the handoff. Pass the baton.
Oh, my gosh.
Tampon. I was like, no. And I was just like, wow, just trying to do a friend a favor, and now there's
you got called out?
Stigma.
Yeah. There's always, like, how do I get to the bathroom and, like, bring my pad or tampon with me without anyone seeing, like, stick it up the sleeve.
That was damn near 10 years ago, and I remember it.
Like, trying to get it from my bag into my pocket before I go to the bathroom without people noticing so that they wouldn't know I was on my period.
Or, like, putting it up your sleeve.
Yeah, that's what I did. Every person with a vagina gets their period, but yet
it's not talked about very much.
Or just like experiences secretion.
Yeah, of some sort. Because there's a lot of stuff other than blood that comes out of the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
It's called discharge, and it changes all the time.
Yeah. This talk is making me feel like I need to make a doctor's appointment.
I think it's really interesting that, like, everyone's discharge changes throughout their cycle and mm-hmm. throughout their lifespan. Because, like, our hormones are at different levels at different points in our life. And getting to know what your normal smell is, I feel like, is a healthy thing. And I think that's something I used to be really embarrassed about, was, like, the fact that I could smell my own pussy.
Mm.
Even when I wasn't on my period. Like, I could smell my period, but I could also just smell my discharge.
I always wondered if other people can smell my period. I'm like, do men, like, notice that primal smell?
I think, like dogs do, but I don't know.
So my understanding is that the reason we can smell our own period so strongly is because it's coming from our own body, so we're being able to smell it through our body. So most other people can't smell that period smell the way that we do, but they can still sense it in a way. So, like, dogs can still sense it. And, like, men in the strip club can sense it.
What about men on the streets?
Probably. Because there's something about the pheromones that we release when we're on our period that other men subconsciously pick up because it's a sign of our fertility. And so, I kid
evolution,
you not.
Baby, darling, strip club.
Men are sharks. I kid you not. Every time I was on my period, I made more money and I could look as bummy as I wanted and not try at all.
Because my pussy's bleeding.
Yeah.
Little bitch.
And people would come up to me and be like, you smell amazing. And I'd be like, I feel like I smell like blood and iron, but if you like it, you can pay me for it.
Whoa.
And that was something I've met a lot of women in the club who have tested out that theory, and there's something about men can kind of subconsciously sense those pheromones that we give off. So it's worked out well for that. And my dog really likes to stick his head in people's crotches when they're on their period too.
Mateo's a huge crotch sniffer.
Oh yeah, but he gets away with it because he's cute.
It's not very problematic. But that's another thing. It's like boys. Going over to someone's house and the dog is just like sticking his head in your vagina and you're like, nice to meet you.
Hi. This is normal. It's fine. I saw, I almost bought scented pads the other day, which are strangely a big thing.
Like,
it was definitely not
nobody
on purpose.
Wants
artificial
those
flower
chemicals
scented.
In your...
Up in there, in your sensitive spots. But I know a lot of people are. And so many people get self-conscious of the way that they smell. But we're not supposed to smell like Starburst. We're supposed to smell like Gucci.
Love that for us.
Yeah, I would be concerned. I remember there was this thing via Circus 2007 where. It was, like, not before the age of memes, but it was, like, something going around on the internet that was, like, oh, if you put Skittles in a girl's vagina and then you eat her out, it'll taste like the rainbow.
Oh, my God. Oh my that's probably
and
so bad for your pH.
Yeah, girls ended up getting yeast infections and, like, going through all this terrible shit because they put street concentrated sugar up their vaginas.
Yeah, no, that's not good. Our pH balance down there is super sensitive.
Wait,
can't
what?
Just stick anything that's not safe for mucous membranes.
But I feel like it's pretty common. Even in sex stores, they have, like, those candy thongs and, like, edible underwear. And,
and I feel like on the
nature.
Outside is one thing, but putting it inside is a whole nother.
What about, like, whipped cream play?
As long as it's on the outside.
Or, like, syrup, like, or...
I don't know if I can mess with syrup, because I'd be nervous about it getting inside, unless I did a really good job cleaning afterwards. Like, if people wanted to put whipped cream on my labia and lick it off, that's fine, but I don't know about, like, coating something in it and then sticking it inside me.
Yeah, that's, like, a whole different fetish.
Yeah. I mean, it is out there. There are people who do that safely out there. It's just takes a little bit more preparation.
And then there's, like, the like vodka tampon situation, like soaking your tampon in alcohol and sticking it
I've
in.
I've tried it.
Did it get you drunk?
Did it work for you?
No, well, I tried to put it in my butthole and it didn't work.
Did it burn?
No.
It didn't burn?
No.
That would be my biggest concern.
You need to use really concentrated alcohol, like Everclear or something. Mm. I was just using vodka and I don't think it was strong enough.
I went to a dispensary recently and got weed lube.
And it's I love weed lube.
It's a coconut oil lube, and it's not quite like I've used like topical pot products for like my muscles, but this lube is like activated in mucous membranes, so it's like for putting inside your vagina.
Did you put it on a toy or directly on your genitals?
I sprayed it onto my clit.
Oh,
it's a spray?
It's like a little spray bottle.
I expected it to be a gel.
No, it's like, it's just coconut oil. So it's very liquidy. And I got it specifically for anal play. Because I feel like it would be really good for helping relax my anal muscles. And add a nice little tingle to the tangle.
Yeah, so does it ting? What does it feel like on your clit?
It was warm, which was kind of nice because usually the lube that I use is pretty cold.
Did you ever use those like hot and icy condoms back in high school?
Not the condoms,
but
I...
That's what it reminded me of. It was like tingly.
I accidentally used...
I like heat though, so...
I got like a heating, like a spicy heating jelly one time that I thought was lube, and it was not. And I used it as lube, and my pussy was on fire! It was when I was in the dorms in college, and I was hooking up with this guy in my dorm, and we both had to go to the separate bathrooms to go wash our genitals because this was not lube. It was very, very spicy, warming jelly. And
was it to eat or for your skin?
No, it was to use just in really small amounts, and we just kind of dumped it all over ourselves, thinking it was like lube. And learned that the hard way.
We can talk about how pads and tampons are marketed, like in commercials.
Oh my gosh, with the stupid lady running through a field all happy.
Yeah, like doing leaps.
I can do all the activities now because I have a diaper pad plus.
I'm like a pretty dykey athletic 14-year-old girl, and I'm like, what is a tampon sport? Like, what? Sport? Like, I can like do kickflips in this? Like,
you can do Kegels and you won't squeeze it out?
What does that mean, sport tampon? That it's a plastic applicator instead of a paper one. I think was the difference.
Oh, those actually were the first one I ever tried. Paper ones. Hell no.
I don't like the paper applicators.
The plastic just helps it slide up and up in you better, right?
The super natural hippie ones that I was raised to use don't have an applicator. So you just gotta stick your finger real far.
That is old school right there.
Well, that's the Diva cup. You gotta just like pinch the cup into like a specific fold and then stick it up and then
pop it open.
It's so annoying sometimes.
Does the Diva cup leak? I just ordered one, but I haven't tried it yet.
It can leak. I feel like you have to kind of like play around and get the like hang of the form and like it's
there were so many different sizes.
Like, unfold pretty much on its own once you get it in there, but sometimes it gets suctioned like closed or like doesn't, and then you have to.
I was looking on the website trying to figure out which one to order, and they literally had a sport Diva cup, and they had one for a wide cervix or a long cervix or a short cervix.
Have you measured?
I don't know how to measure my cervix. That's something I might ask my gynecologist.
I feel like the ladies at Victoria's Secret dressing rooms will do. That would be amazing. Can you measure your cervix? They're so aggressive about measuring your bra size.
I kind of was into it because I was like, yeah, cute girls, feeling my tits, go for it. But before I knew I was really gay, I really liked the Victoria's Secret changing rooms.
That's amazing. I really need to get my titties measured because I don't know my bra size really.
Mine has changed so much over the years.
And it changes based on like where you're shopping. Like some Victoria's Secret.
It's like shoe sizes. They're not all the same. Like my shoe size ranges from a 7 to a 9.5. Depending on the brand. Another really unnecessary thing for the commercialization or ads for pads and tampons is making them women specific. I feel like that's something that if anyone wants to gender would be a great one.
People with vaginas.
I know a lot of non-binary people and men who experience periods and not wanting to buy something that says just for women in the store. It makes a big difference.
I feel like any product can really be gendered, and that's a huge problem with just capitalism in general.
Yeah, it's super unnecessary.
Growing up, there were like the same item as like the boy and the girl option, but one would be pink and one would be blue. It'd be like a bike helmet or something really like standard, and I'm like, why is this even necessary? Like,
and there's so much stigma around boys dressing like boys and girls dressing like girls, especially when they're little. I was a total tomboy when I was a kid, and I hated going to the girls' section. I wanted to go to the boys' section, and I was lucky enough my dad was down with that. He was like, yeah, these clothes have better pockets, they're more durable, they're made better.
Pockets, for real.
Yeah, that's a huge one. Yeah, now, like, there's the trend of, like, I feel like androgynous fashion is, like, becoming trendy, where, like, girls are wearing, like, boys basketball shorts, even though they never really needed to be boys, you know. But and then I feel like now as a girl, female identifying person, like now if I'm wearing pink and glitter, now it's just like, oh, I'm conforming to all those like stereotypes of femininity, and like now people who see me are just gonna assume I'm like a girly. Also, like dressing more, I don't know what to say, androgynous, or like wearing your like Carhartt jacket and your boot to like the car, the mechanic dude, so that they take you more seriously. Like, oh, or
I hate that's a thing.
Or do you dress more slutty
and to try and get that discount?
Just can't not think about the atmosphere song, Dirty Girl. I just remember like growing up going to Catholic school, my apparel, like the way I dressed, was regulated from such a young age. I like always. Like, it was a huge step for me to even think I could wear something more masculine. Like, I had to wear skirts and jumpers. Like,
do you have the choice to wear pants?
From the time I was 5 years old in kindergarten till, like, 13. Like, making me my own decisions, almost. Like,
I didn't realize you had to wear the skirt. I thought you could choose between that and pants.
We could wear pants, but they were just, like, not flat. Like, they weren't pants that normal girls would wear. They were, like, disgusting, like, boy pants. And then there was, like, the stigma. Like, I feel like girls that wore pants were almost treated differently because they were, like, definitely the dykes for sure.
Yeah.
Which, and at an elementary age, that shouldn't matter.
If I was still there, you would be like, oh, I'm not as cute or pretty because I'm wearing
my
pants.
My self-confidence was, like, not as strong on the day that I wore pants.
Yeah.
Even though I was more comfortable. Same. And that was, like, a really, like, fed up mentality for me to even experience.
I agree.
Yeah.
Even now, like, when I go to my internship, I, like, won't wear shirts that, like, might even show a deeper V or, like, even a V-neck. I'm like, I'll stick to my turtleneck because I just don't even want, like, anyone to give me some sort of attention or, like, hit on me at work. Like, I'm there for a very specific reason. Stay in your lane. Like, I'm not trying to just be.
And it's frustrating that a lot of times the way that, like, I'll be influenced on what to wear depends on who I'm going to be around. So, like, when I walk my dog at night in our neighborhood, I tend to dress bulkier and more androgynous because I don't want to look like a sexy young woman walking alone at night in my neighborhood. And that's just, like, a safety thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it really shouldn't have to be like that. It's just, again, that's how it is.
It's like that, yeah.
I feel like historically women have always been regulated on how they've dressed, and even when they do get the choice, it's like there's a stigma either way.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of stigmas that we as humans with vaginas got to deal with. Another one, kind of bringing it back to the birth control stuff too, because there's a lot of stigma and stereotype on women or people with vaginas being on birth control and messing with their hormones and messing with our periods and our libidos And yet so many guys or people with penises will not show up with a condom. And I've had this happen a lot, and I don't understand how there's a stereotype or a stigma for us to be on hormonal altering birth control, but most guys can't seem to remember to bring a condom because it doesn't feel as good.
Well, I feel like a lot of guys, like, there's statistically a less amount of males that experience the effects of, like, STDs and other effects. Like, they are not affected by pregnancy, so they just don't even think about the birth control.
The lack of consideration.
Yeah, because those factors just don't apply to them. It's really wild that so many STDs don't have symptoms for most men. That men are usually asymptomatic, whereas women will have symptoms. Like chlamydia, men usually will not have symptoms and therefore will spread it around willy-nilly while women have to deal with it.
And guys are just way less likely to get tested.
Like, and just like their pride, and I'm like, it's not like one single man's fault. It's like society in general, how like men are raised and
or admit, I feel like
expectations, but...
I've, like, asked guys to go get tested, and I think some guys will get offended. Like, I don't trust their judgment. But it's not so much a judgment call as it is just healthy sluts
it's
or happy sluts.
It's the chemicals in your body that literally might be imbalanced, and you gotta scientifically check on that. Mm-hmm. It's not about anybody's feelings.
It's like getting a cavity or something. Like, you have to go...
You just gotta get these things taken care of.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that a lot of people seem to take it really personally when people ask them when the last time it was that they got tested. Like, I've had that. That's usually one of the first questions I talk to people I'm potentially going to have sex with is, when was the last time you were tested? And did you test negative? Did you test positive for anything? Did you deal with it? And a lot of people just don't even want to deal with that question. It makes them so uncomfortable. But if you are able to deal with that and have that conversation and just go get tested, then the whole condom conversation will go a whole lot easier. And I wish that kind of connected for a lot of people, because a lot of the guys that have shown up for casual sex dates that we've specifically talked about, and they will show up without a condom, and then they have such a lack of ability to talk about their testing. Versus if they had said, oh yeah, I got tested last week and I tested negative, wonderful, we don't have to use a condom because I just got tested too. But if I don't know and you don't know, then we're definitely going to have to use a condom. And if you don't bring one, we're not doing it.
Mm. You have very clear boundaries and communication about what is going on. I'm here to have safe sex. In order to have safe sex, you bring a condom or you get tested. Mm-hmm. Like,
especially for the first time hookups. Like, I feel like it's different once you're in a relationship with people. But for first time dates, I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like it's always better to be prepared. I kicked a guy out a few months ago who came over, and we had talked about everything very clearly, and he came over and did not have a condom. And I had a condom, but it was just the principle of the thing that I'm already altering my hormones. And
the least you could do.
The least you could do is just bring it, just in case.
I remember getting condoms from bowling alleys. They would have them in the vending machines.
Yeah. Oh.
Was that just a California thing?
I've never seen that.
Yeah.
Condoms in vending machines? I do remember flavored condoms. I never fed with those, though.
I just remember the scene in Juno where it's like, do you want this pie-flavored condom?
We should
bring me back to the bowling alleys.
All right. Well, that seems like a pretty good roundabout conversation about a whole range of topics. Thank you for joining me, Lemon and Hazel. I love having roommates that are down to have such strange conversations at 9 o'clock.
So fun. I love this. My first time.
I hope to have you back.
Hopefully not the last.
All right. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back.
Yo, drop. up your glasses, shake your asses, face screwed up like you having hot flashes. Which one? Pick one. This one classic. Red from blind, yeah, bitch, I'm drastic. Why this? Why that? Lip stop basking. Listen to me, baby, relax and start passing. Expressway, head back, weaving through the traffic. This one strong should be labeled as a hazard. Some of y'all niggas hot, psych, I'm gassing. Clowns, I spot them and I can't stop laughing. Easy come, easy go, Evie gon' be lasting. Jealousy, let it go, results could be tragic. Some of y'all ain't writing well, too concerned with fashion. None of you ain't Giselle, can't walk and imagine. A lot of y'all Hollywood drama, cast it. Cut bitch camera off, real shit, blast it.
I had to give you my, it's only been a year.
Frustration, baby, you got to breathe. Take a lot more than you to get rid of me. You see, I do what they can't do, I just do me. Ain't no stress when it comes to stage, get what you see. Meet me in the lab, pen and pad, don't believe. 16's mine, create my own lines. Love for my wordplay, that's hard to find. Sophomore, I ain't scared, one of a kind. All I do is contemplate ways to make your fans mine. Eyes bloodshot, stressing, chills up your spine. Sick to your stomach, wishing I wrote your rhyme.
To give you my, it's only been a year.
Route, lockdown, blast this, sets while I mash out. Yeah, nigga, mash out, D-R-E. Backtrack, think back, E-V-E. Do you like that? Ew, you got to, I know you. Had you in the trance, first glance from the flow too. Don't believe I'll show you, take you with me. Turn you on, tension gone, give you relief. Put your trust in the bone winner, listen to me. Damn, she much thinner, no, now I'm complete. Still styling on, brick house, pile it on. Ride or die, bitch, double law, can't strong. Cause I crush anything I land on. Me here ain't no mistake, nigga. It was planned on.
I had to give you my. It's only been a year.
YG, half a jelly friends don't mind me. I stand 5'3 and I'm real feisty. What I need, pretty nigga, palm trees. Got my own money, bitches, nothing you can buy me. Nope, Brooklyn, baby, we could take it there. And if they want smoke, we can put it in the air, yeah. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. Smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. What you say? What that mean? I don't know.
top shelf, bitch, I'm on the honor roll. Hot fire, make your niggas stop and roll. That booty, ooh, she jiggle like a jelly roll.
Damn.
Chocolate, I'm looking edible. Running through the money, bitch, I feel incredible. Invite me to your party, but I never go. I be too caught up with that bankroll. My dude real hood, mouth full of gold. Real, real hood, do rag on. Ambitious nigga, damn, he got it going on. He just graduated college about a week ago. You can work at CVS as long as you don't keep me stressed. Cause I need a nigga that's just, yes. I'm not with the disrespect, it's me with that indirect. Smoke him like a cigarette, puff pass. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts.
What you saying? What you saying?
This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts. This shit is a girl blunt. I only smoke girl blunts.
This is KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring for a development director. Our development director oversees KBOO's fundraising, donor and business outreach, and leads the